Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 2nd, 2021. The unattainable essence of the Creator. Question: the Creator, or Atsmuto, he himself, sounds very egoistic. Is this the point of ultimate egoism in spirituality? Answer: the point is that we attain the Creator from the bottom up to the extent that we become like Him. We are the absolute desire to receive and He is the absolute desire to bestow. We reveal Him to the extent that we can make our desire to receive resemble His desire to bestow. But He Himself, Atsmuto, is unattainable. We only attain our resemblance to Him from percent to 100%, that is, not the Creator, but ourselves in the corrected state. We cannot feel Him. We can only feel ourselves when we become like Him. Question: so, apart from my current sensation, the Creator does not exist? Answer: correct. The Creator is our subjective sensation of the upper force that formats us, manages us, and fills us. We cannot say anything else other than that. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 24, 2019. Year 2021, the end of the era of slavery. When the economy finally began to open up after a year of quarantine, a new phenomenon emerged: enterprises are unable to recruit the necessary number of workers to resume production despite the high unemployment rate. It was assumed that those who lost their jobs due to the coronavirus pandemic would rush to look for any job opportunity, and there would be no problem with employees. And yet, there is a huge shortage of labor, both in Israel and around the world. And this applies not only to low-paid, unskilled work, but also in high-tech, law offices, accounting. For this reason, offices have to work with a small staff and on a reduced schedule. And the people who previously held these jobs are sitting at home, receiving a good allowance from the state in relation to the pandemic and are in no hurry to return to work. How can we explain this paradox, that with a huge level of unemployment, it is impossible to find workers? There are not enough people who would like to work. Many have lost this desire. After all, they are not in danger of starvation or social pressure. When receiving state benefits, you can lie on the couch, read a newspaper or book, watch TV, or go to the beach with your family. And in fact, there is nothing wrong with this, because it is said that sometimes it is preferable to sit and do nothing. The world is not made to overstrain at work. There are a lot of jobs that don't do any good, so wouldn't it be better to stay at home? At the very least, the environment will improve and pollution will decrease. There is nothing unexpected in this, because of who the person is, the desire to enjoy, which adapts to the conditions that are pressing on him. If there's no pressure on him, he won't budge. Previously, society adopted the attitude that it is impossible not to work, no means of subsistence. Therefore, a person aspired to get a good profession in order to secure a living and feed his family and children. Today, everything is falling apart. There is no desire to start a family, have children, and there is no need to work. And indeed, the goal is not to work more and more and enrich the owner, but to understand what we exist for. What is the use of working as an economist, who from morning to night is puzzling over how to twist the business so that the owner will evade paying taxes and earn a few more millions? And what is the use of technological progress, allowing us to produce more and more toys for ourselves and play? It will be more useful if a person devotes this time to his family, children, and really develops himself by studying science, philosophy, Kabbalah, that is, spiritual development. He will study not the artificial world that he built for himself, but the natural world of nature, in which he lives. And so everything will calm down, there will be no pressure and problems, divorces. Otherwise, we ourselves support the systems that keep a person in shackles. If a person stays at home, he will have time and energy to think about the world and about the life of his family, his nation and the whole world in order to make it better. What useful results has the development of technology over the past 100 years led to, which has driven us into the grinder? The pandemic has sobered humanity. People don't want to work, don't want to go back to work, to be the slaves of a handful of capitalists counting billions of dollars in profits. In order to exist in the world, a person does not have to work 10 hours a day and spend another 2 hours in traffic jams. Finally, we realize that we don't have to work as slaves for Pharaoh, filling someone's pockets. The era of slavery is over. We are free. Let's think about what to do with our life. After all, thanks to modern technologies, which we have achieved with our hard work, it is enough to work a couple of hours a day and have everything you need for life. What do we work for the rest of the time? To accumulate billions in some accounts. Let us see how we can turn all our modern possibilities into arranging a harmonious life for ourselves. How much do you need to work? A couple of hours a day, and not everyone, but mostly men. And let's see how many lawyers, economists, etc. we really need in a correct, reformed society. Apparently, much less than now. But we will need a lot more teachers, educators, and more women working with children. We need to invest more money in the care of the sick, the elderly, to restore order in our home. We do not agree to return to slavery. We are ready to work only as needed in every position, in every enterprise, if it is really for the benefit of humanity and not just for profit. In the pursuit of profit, we have squeezed all the juices out of nature and out of ourselves, and have reached a total crisis. Let's review the whole order again and set it according to the need, with the benefit of the environment, the person, the family. We need a state program for raising a person, training courses for mothers and fathers to build proper, corrected families and all support systems so that each person is well and not one at the expense of another. We have already invested enough in the development of technology, let's now focus on culture, art, education, things that internally fill a person and not just feed him and dress him. The process that we go through according to the program of nature is irreversible. And so we will inevitably move away from the hard work that we have been doing for the past 100 years. We have destroyed the environment and human beings, their opportunities to develop, and now we need to recognize this. And humanity is ready for this, in any part of the world, the terrible consequences of the technological and industrial race are manifested. It's time to stop it. Make a serious calculation and fix what is still possible to fix. There is no other way for humanity. We need to understand why nature treats us in this way, what we need to do, how to behave, what new world we need to enter, and what new systems we need to build. From CAB TV's A Conversation with Journalists, May 25, 2021. Michael Lehtman, on Quora: Why is antisemitism prevalent among the progressive left, particularly the feminist left? Antisemitism is a natural phenomenon, which emerged together with the emergence of the Jewish people in ancient Babylon around 4,000 years ago. It is rising in both the political left and right, as they both stem from the very causes of the phenomenon of antisemitism itself. Hatred toward the Jewish people unfolds in several additional ways to how it appears from a particular political standpoint. However, the burning question right now is, what do we do about it? Antisemitism is not just against Jews. It is against the inner law in nature, where only unity among all people can save us from this phenomenon and bring about a positive transformation in humanity. Antisemitism is thus by no means a narrow inclination toward Jews. It is much broader in scope. The human ego, the desire to enjoy on account of others, has started consuming itself, and it needs correction. The more this ego makes people feel hatred toward each other, and the more this hatred pains them, then the more people instinctively connect that hatred to the Jews. In addition, hatred toward Jews temporarily helps them, because without it, their growing hatred would erupt more among themselves. Therefore, I think that we should view antisemitism as a natural phenomenon that exists before and beyond political sides, and we need to respond to it accordingly. Antisemitism cannot end with any small fixes within or between political sides, or if we leave the State of Israel, as several of our critics, especially in the Arab world, demand. Antisemitism is a phenomenon that exists at the level of nature's forces, which permeate humanity and all of nature. Jews, the people of Israel, the nation founded on uniting, love your neighbor as yourself, above division, love will cover all transgressions, in order to spread that unity to humanity, to be a light unto the nations, need to correct the human ego, to unite positively above it. They have a method that can save humanity from the ego's overgrowth in our era. Therefore, I make no special connection of antisemitism to the left, the feminist left, or to anywhere else on the political spectrum. Antisemitism goes much deeper than politics. However, natural evolution through the inanimate, vegetative and animate levels of nature has turned humanity into a self-consuming being. And it is not that the Jews are the worst people in the world. It is simply that they have a method for how to unite humanity, and by doing so, save humanity from today's excessive and dangerously destructive human ego. We should thus not think about how to make small fixes here and there. Instead, we need to achieve unity. I am certain that if the few million Jews on the planet today would think about how to unite in order to do good to all humanity, then that unifying tendency would expand throughout the world, and everyone would join in. As a practical measure, if I had it in my power to do so, I would not turn to Jews, but to all haters of Jews and Israel. I would explain to them how exactly the Jews block their happiness, and would also request that they redirect their pressure on the Jews, to demand Jewish unity. This is because, if Jews unite, antisemitism will disappear, and the whole of humanity will unite. And when united, all the burning problems we perceive in our lives today would simply disappear. In short, humanity is headed toward a state of perfect unity. Humanity can unite on condition that the people of Israel unite. Today, however, the Jews are more divided than any other people. Therefore, antisemitism will gradually acquire forms that will force Jews to unite. Eventually, an inner perception will form within us, Jews, that we need to unite, and by doing so, we will save ourselves and the whole of humanity from all hatred, division and crises. Based on a talk meetings with Kabbalah between Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman, Professor Eli Avraham, Gabriel Morka and Dr. Eli Venoka on May 28, 2021. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Michael Leitman, on Quora, why do so many people have depression nowadays? Depression is a sensation of lacking vitality. In our current times, we are in the transition to another level of life that is starting to show itself to us. It is expressed in growing interdependence and interconnectedness around the world, which we feel negatively because we have yet to realize how to adapt to the new conditions nature has placed us into. Depression is one of the key negative sensations that a lot of people feel as we head into a new level of human development. The more we develop into an era that demands that we learn how to positively realize our growing interdependence and interconnectedness, then the more we will feel ourselves in the shadows of this era, with growing negative sensations of meaninglessness, purposelessness, exhaustion, and a general lack of vitality. The purpose of these negative sensations is in order to signal to us that a certain shift in our attitudes needs to take place if we are to change our negative sensations to positive ones. If we make a certain shift to realize our interdependence and interconnectedness positively, we will then invite a new force of life into our lives, the positive force that dwells in nature. We will then find how the array of problems we experience, from problems on personal levels such as depression, anxiety, loneliness and stress, through problems on social, national and ecological levels, will all disappear. On one hand, we are doing our best to sustain our outdated egoistic, individualistic and materialistic approach to life. However, rising depression, loneliness, anxiety, stress and other problems will keep showing our failure. Today, nature acts on us, as a kind of evolutionary steamroller, pushing us to rise to a different level of existence, which includes understanding what we here are for, where we are headed, and how we should positively connect above our egoistic drives. Humanity now faces specifically this challenge. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. The 12 Tribes of the People of Israel. Question: where did the 12 tribes of the people of Israel come from? Answer: there is a so-called common kli, vessel, a common mutual connection of the people, which consists of 12 parts. The fact is that the people are a four-level combination Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the so-called Havayah. Each of these parts, in turn, consists of three lines, right, left, and middle. Therefore, four levels times three lines give 12 different flows of movement towards the complete connection. They are called the 12 tribes. From Cab TV's Spiritual States. The final correction is the integration of all humanity. Question: the state of Purim symbolizes final correction. What does it mean? Answer: first, we need to correct what the Creator has corrupted. He stated bluntly, "I created the evil inclination, and you must bring it to a good end." The evil inclination is our egoism, which is in different forms in each element of creation, and we, humanity, people, and, first of all, the people of Israel, must transform it into the opposite form, altruism, the property of bestowal and love, the property of connection, rapprochement, and unification. Hence, it can be understood that the entire system of creation is moving from absolutely broken and destroyed to the direction of unification. Moreover, this unification takes place under the influence of a higher power, the Creator. If we maintain the pace set by the Creator for drawing closer and improving our unification, then we feel good and comfortable. We can even increase this pace and run, as they say, in front of the cart. If we cannot stand it and we lag behind, then the cart drags us along, and we just drag along behind it, a poor, unhappy, disfigured humanity. Question: when you say Creator, do you mean nature and the entire evolutionary process? Answer: of course. These are not old folks' tales. Constant integration of all mankind, rapprochement between people, this is what nature requires of us. Therefore, the holiday of Purim symbolizes the final correction of all that egoism, that fragmentation that was created by the Creator. From Cab TV's Spiritual States. Purim, the inner meaning of the holiday. Distancing and Nearing. The Book of Zohar, Vayikra, Item 79. It is like a king who was angry with the queen and expelled her from her palace for a certain period of time. When that time was through, the queen would immediately come and return before the king. This was so once, twice, and thrice. But on the last time, she became remote from the king's palace and the king expelled her from his palace for a long time. The king said, "This time is not as like the other times, when she came before me. Instead, I and all my household will go and seek her." The king is the Creator, the general force of nature. The queen symbolizes the creation, that is, the souls created by the Creator. They must go through certain states of exile and nearing, which create clearer perceptions of the Creator in the souls. Distancing from him, they feel certain negative properties in themselves, darkness, confusion, suffering. And then, when they approach him, They come to the state of fulfillment, understanding, etc. But each time this distancing and nearing is qualitatively different. If when the first time I simply moved away and came closer I felt that it was bad to be far away and good to be close, the second time, moving away and approaching perhaps at the same distance, I already feel different about it. Why did I move away? Why am I approaching? What is the difference? The third time I already ask, why does the Creator do this? I ask not why it is happening to me, but why does the Creator need it? I realize that it comes from the Creator. The fourth time, when all this research and understanding accumulates in me, my mind grows, and my sensation expands, then I am already in a deep state of exile from the Creator, in a state of separation and darkness. Although this darkness may be the same as before, the realization that I can no longer return to Him on my own is very bitter and profound. I feel my opposition to the Creator and my powerlessness so deeply that I cannot do anything with myself. In this case, for the first time I find myself lacking strength and need Him to bring me back. When this urgent demand arises in me because I can no longer remain in exile, then He Himself comes to me with all His courtiers. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 14. Becoming one system. Question: what does the level of connection between us mean if we are all one system anyway? Answer: where do you see that we are one system? Question: if I don't see it, does it mean that we are not one system? Answer: of course not. The Creator sees us as one system. And our attitude toward Him stems from each of us as individual egoists. This is a problem because in the state we are now, we are not connected to the upper system of providence. The upper providence relates to all of humanity as one system, as one whole. There is only one soul, which is all of us, together. This is how the Creator wants to relate to us. But because we do not position ourselves in this way, we are constantly opposite from Him. Question: in principle, should our view coincide with the Creator's view? Answer: yes. Then everything will be just fine. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 17, 2019. Mutual guarantee for the connection between us. Question: people will not be able to reveal a higher power if I do not vouch for them. What is my guarantee? Answer: in the fact that you, as an elder, as a more experienced person, take upon yourself all states, all possibilities, in order to bring them into connection with yourself and with the whole world. We are interconnected here. This mutual guarantee comes from the integral system in which we find ourselves. That is, the entire state of the universe, the worlds, is only one, single, integral system. And each of us acts from the point where he is in this network, like a spider that weaves a web. Each of us is a small spider on which the proper functioning of the entire network depends. I am acting from my point, you are from yours, and he is from his, and so on. If we all interact correctly, the network reaches its maximum, perfect state. Question: this can be compared with our body, in which different organs seem to vouch for each other. Answer: yes. Absolutely based on the same system. Question: in the body does this happen unconsciously, as programmed? Should we do it consciously? Answer: we must consciously bring this faulty system to the correct state where we all mutually vouch for each other, complement each other. Question: what is the reason that no one knows such important information? Why is it laid down so by the program? Answer: when we are born in this world, we do not know anything about it. We have parents, educators, and teachers who teach us. We live, we exist, we develop somehow, and only then, from the age of 15 to 20, do we begin to creatively, perhaps practically, relate to the world. The same is true here, both in private spiritual life, when a person comes to Kabbalah and begins to engage in it, and in all of humanity, which passes through thousands of years of its development. And only in our time, from the 20th century onward, are we entering a state where we can already reveal this system, the laws by which it exists, and begin to understand how we should act in order to bring this system to complete equilibrium. And before that we were like children, we developed unconsciously. Question: can we say that the law of mutual guarantee is the law of the existence of a living organism? Answer: yes. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, December 17, 2018. At Smuto, the root of everything there is. Question: am I correct in understanding that At Smuto is higher than the world of infinity? If so, what secrets of the Torah is Kabbalah speaking about? Answer: the fact is that everything I attain, including the names of the Creator, I attain to the extent of my similarity to something unknown. But there is also something that I do not attain, and that is the root of everything that influences me, called At Smuto. This is the reason that we reveal the world of infinity but not what is above it. We study in Kabbalah that the light descends from above and creates the phase 0, Keter. Then comes phase 1, Hochmah, which is already a vessel. Then there are the phases of Bina, Zer and Pin, and Malkhut of the world of infinity. Kabbalists attain all these phases, but they do not attain the actual source that the light descends from. They say that the light builds the phase 0, Keter. But where it comes from, what its nature is, we know nothing about. We only know that by our actions we know you, therefore, At Smuto, he himself, is unattainable. Call it by one word, unattainable. Question: what then are the secrets of the Torah? Answer: the secrets of the Torah are what we attain in the head of the world of Atzilut. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 24, 2019.